Good afternoon. Everybody take kind of like a stretch because you've just had lunch and we're talking here. I'm going to shift gears a little bit. You've heard about the Clinical Services Prevention Task Force and its recommendations. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about how to use those or what ways in which those recommendations are being used through school-based health centers. There is a unique intersection that's going to emerge between the clinical prevention services recommendations and the model of school-based health centers and what's happened in healthcare reform. But first, I think it's one of the things that's really important is I'm always amazed at how many people don't understand what school-based health centers do. There's this confusion of school health services, school-based health centers, who do they do, what do they see? And the National Assembly on School-Based Healthcare is the national partner that kind of monitors what's happening with school-based health centers across the nation. Every 3 years, they do a census survey, and in 2008, they came out with that new census. Believe it or not, there are 1,900 school-based health centers across the nation. More than 1 million youth are touched through those school-based health centers. And the primary focus is prevention services and primary care. They're operated by health departments, FQHCs, and hospitals predominantly. And they're staffed by a team of professionals, physicians, nurse practitioners, PAs, nurses, mental health individuals. I love this slide because I've been doing work with school-based health centers for about 20 years. There was only maybe 700 of these little dots. And now when you see these dots, there's 1,900 of them. So I think it exemplifies how this model has grown. So one of the questions is, where are school-based health centers? And how does it relate to the prevention model? It's a critical question. They're generally strategically located in communities. They're established to address gaps in care and in specific populations. And most importantly, communities decide what type of school-based health centers. The type really kind of defines what kinds of preventative services are offered through that model. So, the location of school-based health centers across the nation, as you can see, is about 57% are in urban areas. No surprise, because when you really look at where school-based health centers are, they're generally located in medically underserved communities, generally where kids and children have getting access to doctors on a routine basis or primary care. 27% are in suburban areas, but 16 are in rural, and when you look at that over the last 10 years, that number is steadily grown, and I expect that will continue to grow. So, types of school-based health centers. Again, keeping in mind as we talk about the role of prevention services, we'll define what kinds of services. 33% are in high school. 20% are in others. And what we consider others are like school-linked health centers, often in communities where you're not allowed to give out contraception, to distribute contraception on school property, but you can in an adjacent area. The other area that I think is very, very interesting since I've been doing school-based health centers, rarely 10 years ago did you see elementary school-based health centers. And now you're starting to see that number steadily increase. And the big piece of that is mental health services that goes on working with younger kids. So who do they serve? Well, what we know is that predominantly members of minority and ethnic communities are represented in school-based health centers by taking a look at this. And that varies from state to community, what that pie looks like there in terms of students being served. So I've been asked to talk about where's the intersection and how does this relate to healthcare reform? Very clear. Clinical preventive services are the crux of what school-based health centers do, particularly when you look at the child and adolescent recommendations. It hits those sensitive windows of opportunity with children and young people. So when you look at those five areas that the task force recommends, cancer screening, cardiovascular, infectious disease, mental health, injury prevention, nutrition, all of those things are the crux of what school-based health centers do. And what led to a major discussion and movement within healthcare reform to address that. Gosh, the top 10 are preventative services. When you look across the nation that NASBIC did their survey, it is clearly about prevention services. However, over the last 5 years, and those of you who've worked in this area around clinical prevention services know you don't get reimbursed for those. And so about 8 years ago, several states across the nation said to their school-based health centers, we're going to stop funding you and you need to start to bill for services. And we said, okay, we'll start to bill for services. And so we started doing it, and the rejections kept coming in, and they kept coming in. And so the hospitals and the FQHCs and local health departments said, you know, it really does not make sense for us to bill for these services. While you tell us we have to bill, there's no mandate that you will reimburse for these services. So Michigan was in this unique position. And so one of the things that we did was we partnered up with our federal partner, NASBIC, and said, okay, we need to look at a federal policy initiative that really starts to take a look at how do we get reimbursement for clinical services. When you look at the sustainability of this model, it is not a model that can be sustained on just clinical prevention services. And yet it's the cornerstone of what is happening. So, a couple things happened in the last 2 years, and it was truly a perfect storm. While there's been much discussion with congressional members over the last 6 years about reimbursement within school-based health centers, it first time became very crystallized in CHIPRA and the reauthorization. And just a little bit before that, everybody understood about IRA and everybody was excited. Oh gosh, we'll get some money to come in and we'll start to support these school-based health centers and we'll be able to keep up with demand that schools want them or community. And what we discovered was, lo and behold, you're not even acknowledged in any kind of federal law. And if you're not acknowledged in federal law, then you won't be eligible for IRA dollars. So out of SCHIP, CAPS, and Dodd, and Stabenow, and Dingell all put together the first ever language defining what a school-based health center was. And you can find that in the Social Security Act under Section 2110C. It also then goes on to further talk about who can sponsor a school-based health center. Now, it's important, again, to keep in mind that if you don't have federal regulation, while you may have some Medicaid offices or insurance carriers that will recognize it, unless you have a place acknowledging that, they're under no obligation to cover that. So the sponsoring facilities, as we know, are hospitals, health departments, community health centers, healthcare agencies, a school or a system can sponsor a school-based health center. Healthcare reform going on, you all were much wiser than us because there was lots of discussion for the last 2 years going on around healthcare reform. At the same time we said, oh my gosh, here comes healthcare reform, we need to do two things. We need to get an authorizing program in there that would allow for schools, communities to apply for funds to begin operating a school-based health center or to sustain its funding. And so 4101B of healthcare reform actually created an authorizing program, first ever acknowledging school-based health centers. 4101A, hopefully most of you know, HRSA has just administered out a request for capital construction program for school-based health centers where up to $500,000 an entity can apply to actually build, renovate a facility, purchase an electronic medical record, computers, new equipment. That is out. Another round is expected to come out in 2011 and 2012. So one of the things is to keep in mind, it's very important to understand that child and adolescent, the clinical prevention services, you have the opportunity to have a profound impact using what research has showed on a model that truly gives to children and adolescent across the board. And that's working through school-based health centers and school-linked health centers. And so as we move forward in healthcare reform, I hope that you'll consider looking at ways to expand that in the communities and populations that you work with. Thanks.